And we're here on the K&M Podcast, Ken Brown from WGR Radio, and Michael Harrell, longtime NFL writer for the Detroit Lions, on the line with us now as we discuss the 2024 NFL Detroit Lions season. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown. I'll tell you what, it's something to look at, too. I don't know that the city of Detroit has ever been more geeked for the start of the season than what we got in front of us.
Well, we're going to get into that in a minute because I want to take this time here. And I want to rewind back to the year after the 91 season, going into the season. Was there as much optimism as there is this year? I want to compare it to, and I believe that this one is even more optimistic than that one, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute. But I just want to get into that as we go forward. But first of all, we haven't done a podcast in a couple weeks because I've been on vacation, and I'm sorry I wasn't coming off to talk about roster cuts at the end of the season. And Michael Hare wasn't going off his vacation because Michael Hare is on vacation a lot now, and we just weren't going to do it. So before we get to all the other stuff getting into the season and the Rams game upcoming, let's talk about the final cuts and then the practice squad. I'm not going to get into all the names of it, but Michael Hare, these were the hardest cuts to me in a long time for the Lions. And their practice squad might be better than some of Matt Patricia's teams.
I thought you were going to go back to 2008.
No, I'm not going to. Hey, the practice squad definitely might be able to beat the 2018, but there were some cuts that were made, guys put on the practice squad that could have possibly made the team. And I'm just surprised, I don't know about you, like I said, I'm not going to get every name, that none of those guys after the cuts were picked up by other teams, because I thought there was some talent that got, you know, cut.
Yeah, well, the biggest surprise to me was adding that quarterback. That shocked the heck out of me. I never expected it, and looking at it, it makes sense. He's a prospect, but that was one for the books.
You talking about Jake Fromm be coming on the practice squad?
Yeah, Jake Fromm.
Well,
yeah, absolutely.
Let's look at it like this: Jake Fromm should send the New York Giants a big fruit basket, because I'm gonna tell you why.
A big fruit basket.
Because if Hendon Hooker does not get that concussion in the first preseason game, they never would have signed Jake Fromm, because they only signed Fromm so they had a second quarterback, because Goff wasn't going to play for the next preseason game, which was Kansas City, because they didn't know if he was going to play or not. So they signed Fromm that week as an emergency. If Hooker never gets that concussion, Fromm is never signed. Never signed. They weren't going to sign. They only signed him in case Hooker wasn't cleared by that next week to play Kansas City. And he was cleared at the end of the week. And Fromm, I don't think he played that game. He was just on the roster. Then he practices one more week. And next thing you know, Nate Sudfeld's out of a job and Fromm is in. I think it's the greatest concussion in the history of concussions.
It was a flip-flop that I just never could have seen it coming.
Well,
never.
We could see one thing coming. Sudfeld was not good. We saw that. Now, you could sit there with blinders on, and we could all pretend like we didn't see what we saw. But he just hasn't been good for 3 years. He was hurt last year, but he wasn't good the year before.
That's probably a little bit of truth in that.
I'm not calling him a bum or anything like that, but he just wasn't good.
Look, he lasted, 8 years in the league? This would have been his ninth year.
He went on the Drew Stanton category, guy who just hung around and hung around. You know what? There's a show on Fox News now, The Facility, and Chase Daniels is one of the four co-hosts now. And I just look at Chase Daniels, every backup quarterback that played a long time that never really played is in Chase Daniels. Chase Daniels made like $35 million. He played 12, 13 years, whatever it was. And he was just there. You never said anything good about him. You never said anything bad about him. He was just a quarterback who was there, you know, like the Kennedy assassination. You know, I was there. He was on the grassy knoll, but nobody talked about him. He was just there.
I don't know about the grassy knoll, but didn't he beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day one time?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Year? He had and then they signed him after that, and he couldn't do a thing.
Couldn't do a thing, absolutely.
So Jake Fromm makes the practice squad. Now, Mike, I know the rule has changed on that, but that third quarterback spot, and I don't think you can elevate a practice squad to the third quarterback. I'm a guy in favor of keeping three quarterbacks on the active roster with that emergency thing. So, that two quarterback thing is just, I'm not down with that.
But hey, if teams want to keep a third quarterback, they can do it.
That's what I said. I'm with keeping three quarterbacks. That's what I want to do. Because one of them, you're going to make that inactive guy, so you're still going to get the band. But you should clear a roster spot for three quarterbacks. That's the way I like to play football.
Well, then just make them active. You can do it.
Yeah, not make them active, but you can't make them active from the practice squad. You have to put him on the active roster and then make him the third quarterback. They changed the rule this year. That's what I'm saying. That's what they need to do. Because if you go into the game with two quarterbacks, anything can happen, and you end up with Amon St. Brown finishing the game for your quarterback. And I'm just not comfortable with it, you know, so.
Well, it wouldn't be my first choice, but sometimes when unusual things happen, not just pro football, and you kind of remember them.
Yeah. So anyway, the practice squad was made. Pretty much the guys I thought were going to make the team made the team. The one, James Houston, was one that I didn't know if he was going to make it or not, but he ended up making it. But he's going to have to show something early, man, because, you know, we can't be living off 2 years ago as eight sacks in those last few games. How many years are we going to live off this, man? You know?
As long as you can.
You got to do something, you know, recently and currently, you know, before we start talking about it. Now, the roster is thick as I've seen in years. The only questions I have, backup offensive lineman, there might be some question marks about it. I'm still not sold on that. And the fifth wide receiver or the big wide receiver that they haven't put on the practice, you know, haven't put on the roster yet. But they do have some guys like Allen Robinson who came to the practice squad. And there's also the guy they got from Denver Broncos, the big wide receiver coming in. And those are guys who are right now in the practice squad. By the time you hear this, one of them might be elevated. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones again, who was he was still brought in. So what do you think about that, Mike? Are you happy with the way the receivers set up in there?
Well, I think they would like to have had, you know, something a little bit better than what they got. But look, Allen Robinson had two, three seasons in was an active player with, you know, more than 100 receptions. So he's fallen off of that, but really he's played at that level, and I don't think that was a bad pickup at all.
No, it was a bad pickup, but he's Allen Robinson 10 years in. He's not Allen Robinson 5 years in the league. He's not Allen Robinson who was almost
not.
And Tim Patrick is the one I was talking about from Denver, the wide receiver. 6'5", 210, which is a good side. They need a big guy like that. So one of those guys comes through, and like I said, it's not going to be that integral. It's just you need that guy for certain situations. Other than that, I think that team is ready to go offensively, and I'm excited to see what goes on with that.
Let's see if Dan Skipper can play offense. play wide receiver.
I'm 6'10". I'm going to tell you another thing about Dan Skipper. He's probably the swing tackle right now, the backup. But Manu Giovanni, the offensive lineman who came from Canada, number 59 on your program, I was impressed with him in preseason, Mike. I mean, he was raw as a green apple at the beginning of preseason. I'm not saying he's ready to go in there and play right now, but the progress he made from the first preseason practice to the last preseason game bodes well for him. I thought he really – you could see it, him getting better and better. And I think they got a backup tackle for the next 2 or 3 years.
Really, you think so? Do you think that much of him?
I thought he improved that much, and give him another 6-8 games of practice. You don't have to play. I wouldn't have a problem putting him in if, you know, in the middle of the season you needed him for a game or whatever. I think he's a better prospect than Skipper right now.
Well, Skipper's got time in the league, though. That's variable.
Early in the season, Skipper's your swing tackle, but my prediction by middle of the season, Manu will have passed him and will be the first guy off that bench, per se, if one of those guys comes up. This is my prediction. This is KB's prediction.
I think you're seeing something that isn't there.
All right. But I saw Skipper in that NFC Championship game when they moved Sewell over to the left side for those plays in the second half, and Boza ate him like a sandwich. Ate him like a sandwich. I'm sorry I saw it. Boza was shut down in the first half, and they started doing funny stuff in the second half, and those two sacks went right over our guy Skipper. So anyway, like I said, he's a backup now. So I want to go back to what I was talking about earlier, the 91 team going into 92.
Yeah.
You got to remember, the Lions were not as deep a team as this team from that NFC Championship year where they lost 40 to whatever to, you know, this team losing, you know, a close game that they were leading. And number two, there was a lot of incidents that happened over that offseason. Remember, Mike, coming in, the coaches died, players were killed. It was a lot of things happened, and it just destroyed the 92 season.
Yeah, but the 1992 team didn't have the players that this team has.
No.
It didn't have the quality of players. Certainly not at quarterback.
Exactly.
Not at all. And they didn't have Barry Sanders. As good as the guys they have now playing, they didn't have Barry Sanders either. They didn't have Herman Moore. Those teams were – they didn't have, Pro Bowl left tackle. Well, I guess they did. That's a wash. But that the 1992 team was stacked with talent. Stacked.
Yeah, but I think, like I said, the death of Andelsack, Lynn Fonz dying.
That was in the offseason, yeah.
Right, that happened, and it just put a damper on that whole season. And then, like you said, there was revolving quarterback situation because Pete was coming back that year from the injury from the year before. Kramer had won the games. And Kramer was good, but he wasn't. He was, like you said, he wasn't a quarterback that, you know, is my team now, and I'm definitely ahead. And they went through the quarterback carousel thing again. It just didn't make for a cohesive start to 92. But this team here is cohesive coming out of the camp.
But that carried over another season for Eric Kramer, too. And he was a starter off and on in 1993. And then was made the starting quarterback for the rest of the season for the last four games, and they won three of those four games, won the division, made the playoffs, and that was really those four games were probably the highlight of Eric Kramer's career as a player. Now he had more playing time other times, but that just in particular for what he accomplished then, I think that was a highlight even over the 1991 season.
Yeah, but I'm still never forgiving him for that 106 yard interception retiring. Sorry, I got in the playoff game. Sorry, that was the game right there. Put it away.
It was part of it.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, Mike. So the team is set, roster deep, coach ready. I got information. I got new information. The first person put on IR today. This is solid information. The only we have here at the K&M podcast. You know the first casualty of the new year, Mike, on the Lions.
I want you to tell me.
The podium. Today, they put a new podium up. The big new podium from the beginning of camp has been replaced already. It's gone on IR, and a smaller podium was put up today. So the first casualty of camp is the podium. The famous new Myers podium that looked like a bench from a judge. Now they had a nice new podium up today.
A nicer one.
A real nicer one. Smaller, sleek. Now, somebody said, I'm not repeating it, that was for Aaron Glenn, but I'm not saying that. I'm not the one to repeat that. But it's a nice new podium up. So the first IR roster spot has been taken by the old podium to the new podium.
You are certainly – I think you should get some record for reporting on that.
Yes, I should get a Pulitzer for the report on that.
A Pulitzer,
yes,
absolutely.
Yes, I should get a Pulitzer. All right, well, let's get into it, Mike. ESPN, some simulations have the Lions winning the Super Bowl. Some have Green Bay as this great team. Kansas City, of course, is the favorite going in as they play the Baltimore Ravens tonight. I don't know coming in. I've never in my lifetime, I don't know about yours, but the Lions have been favored to win. So I remember years ago, one writer, I think Prisco or somebody, picked the Lions to win the Super Bowl, but he was the oddball in that. But this is the first time I've seen numerous accounts that the Lions are favored to win by people the Super Bowl. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. If they're not rated number one, they're number two behind the Giants. Not the Giants, behind the 49ers.
Right.
I mean, they're either first or second, and then probably a few more, for the 49ers because of what they've accomplished. The Lions haven't quite done it yet. They've only got one really, one big winning season behind them too. Other teams have done it for a longer period of time, but there's no denying that the roster that they put together for this season is superior, I think, to anybody else in the National Football League.
Yeah, and the one thing about this team and Campbell's regime, I'll call it, up to this point, you're now accustomed to them thinking they can win a game. And I'm saying that, okay, they won 12 out of 17. This was even before the playoffs. 12 out of 17 last year. The year before, I think they won their last six out of eight. It might even been more than that. But they at least they had a big run on the second half of the season. So
eight out of 10.
It was 8 out of 10. Okay, so what we're saying is 20 out of their last, 27 games they've won. You've established winning as a baseline now. And that's why when you go into a game, like I said, 20 out of 27 times you've won them. That does psyche to a team. And, now you're in that mode where if we don't win, we got to find out why. It's not like, well, we lost, that's us. That does a lot for a team.
Yeah, I think, Kenny, I think the closest that we've seen before for this was the Lions of the 1990s, 1991 through 2000, when I think they had seven or eight winning seasons, made the playoffs six or seven times. Just couldn't, they got to the hump, they couldn't get over the hump. And outside of the one season when they got really beaten, just slaughtered by the Washington football team.
They were the Redskins then. You can go ahead and say it.
Listen, go ahead and say it.
Nobody's going to put a civil rights march at your house.
You'd be the first one to turn me in. I thought that team from the 90s, it just had more pure talent.
Yeah, but they also, Mike, like I said again, from 91, they had a 12-4. Then they went down to, five wins the next year. Then the next year after that, they went to the playoffs. And the next year after that, I think they went to the playoffs. And they went down again, then back up when Bobby Ross. They just were never – they never put like three consistent seasons together, three winning seasons in a row.
Well, that's not true. It is in the 1993 season. They won three of the last four, and they went to the playoffs
in '93 with a winning record.
3 years, yeah.
Right, two straight years, but they never put that third one.
93, 94, and 95, they made the playoffs all 3 years.
Did they make them all three? Okay.
Yeah, they did.
I'll take it back. I thought they had a bad season in there. I know the 92 season after the 12-win season that stripped them down. But like you said, that was their run. This is the Lions' run now. You probably got a three-year window now to me before you have to retool because your contracts are lined up, your young players that will be up for contracts now, you got about a – this year, next year, and the year after. And after that, because you got to start paying guys after that, and you have to make some decisions on who's staying and who's not. So this is really last year was the start of their run. This is their run now. So if you're going to do it, it's got to be in these next 3 years to me.
Well, I think they're young enough and good enough at the key positions to have a longer run than that.
You got to start keeping guys. That's the only part. If you paid your quarterback now, you paid your wide receiver, you got to pay Hutchinson next year. And then you got the Corey Josephs and the Laportas coming up after that and the Brian Branches. You're not going to be able to pay everybody. Everybody's not getting paid. That's what I'm saying. You got while they're under these contracts here, this is your team. And you're going to make decisions that a lot of people aren't going to like. You have to let guys go that this is the salary cap era. You got to let guys go that are good because you can't afford to keep them.
Yeah, but teams have lasted with this since they salary cap took effect in 1994, and I just think that if you manipulate it the right way, you can do it.
But the only thing, the discrepancy now between the 90s of big contracts to regular contracts is so far. I mean, Mike, we were talking $50 million players now, $30 million receivers. That's cap. That's different than 90 in the 90s, where it would be maybe a $2 million difference between the best player and an average player. Now you're talking there's a $20 million difference between the best player and average player. You just can't do it anymore.
Well, in fact, this is kind of just statistically the first year that the salary cap took effect was 1994, and it was $34 million. Some guys get that get $34 million for their contract.
I think Ayuk just signed for like $30-something million. The Brandon Ayuk. So, yeah, that shows you the change and what's going on. Well, anyway, let's get to the Rams, Mike. Matt Stafford returns, baby, or Matthew Stafford returns. Kelly will not be there. I read it on our podcast that she said she will not be there. Her and the kids will not be there. So you guys don't have to boo the Staffords, which you shouldn't have in the first place. But you will not be booing them. What kind of reception do you think Mr. Stafford is going to get this weekend?
I think he'll get overall a very positive, you know. Look, he did an awful lot here in Detroit, not on and off the field. But as a player here on that field Sunday night, I think he'll get way more cheers than boos. But there'll be some boos, too, and there would be anyway.
Well, I think he'll be cheered in introductions. Then after that, he's the enemy, and you get booed.
Oh, right, yeah.
Give him his credit in introductions, and then after that, we own your butt.
They're introduced as visiting team.
They don't do that anymore?
No, the guys haven't done it for years.
Well, they should do a special for him. I would do it this week for him. I would give him a special introduction because, you know, you don't want to look. Whatever happened.
He's been back twice in the last 4 years now. He's had his run.
Yeah, but this is a regular season, so okay. And look, I don't want to get into Stafford there.
I like Stafford.
I do too. You know, he's my guy. Everybody knows he's my guy. Yeah. He's my guy. Their best player retired. Let's not bury the lead here. The Rams' best player retired, Aaron Donald. You can slice it and say anything you want on how we're not going to miss him or our defense is going to be better. It's not. Let's just get that out there.
No,
your defense is not going to be better.
I don't think he would have been their best player this year, and I don't think he was their best player last year. Those days were gone, in my opinion.
Well,
I'm not saying he wasn't a good player, but he wasn't Aaron Donald.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
Because he made that whole defensive linebacker like that rookie last year that had the 9 sacks. Hey, why you think he had 9 sacks? With Aaron Donald, they were doubling him. And then we'll see what the guy does now that Aaron Donald's gone. I just think Aaron Donald, even though he wasn't what he was the 2 years prior, he was still the best player on that team. And Puka Nacua, he's better than Puka Nacua. He's better than Matt Stafford. But like I said, regardless of that, he's not there now. And I think that their defense is in for a world of hurt this Sunday night because I think that this Lions offense, this is a machine ready to go.
Yeah, and barring turnovers, I think the Detroit Lions will take them apart. I really do. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind.
Right, but this is the one thing this year with the Lions I want to see. I want to see domination for a whole game. Even the Rams game last year, they scored like 21 points, I think, in the first quarter and some change. And the final score was 24-23. They shut down. This year, they should be more mature where I want to see them just unload on teams. Like the San Francisco game last year. They scored 24 in the first half. And the final score, they got 31. I think they got 7 more the rest of the game. So you got to – I want to see that offense perform for a full game, and they've had too many dead spots in the game. Remember they had that third quarter problem, and I talked to Ben Johnson about that in the offseason, and he said he went back and looked at it on film, and, you know, they made some changes or whatever, and he thought they were better in the second half of the season than not. But those are the maturing things of an offense I want to see this year.
And we'll see. You know, listen, it's going to take more than one game or a couple of games to see if they've cured what isn't to me is not a huge problem, but it is a problem. I don't think it's something that's going to prevent them from doing what they want to do. But you want to have balance on your team. You want to be able to score, you know, both sides of the ball, running and passing.
Yep. And defensively, I want to see just overall. But I don't know where they finished last year. I don't have a stat right here in front of me. But I want them to be a top 10 defense this year, and I think they should be.
Last half of the season, I think they were one of the better teams defending the run, but not the pass.
Right, but I want to see them come to a top 10 defense this year. I think they made the right improvements, and the key to the defense to me for this year will be DJ Reader and Davenport. Those are the two guys, because I know what I'm getting out of everybody
Davenport.
Else. Yeah, those two guys on the line. The rookie cornerbacks, they're going to have ups and downs, both of them, Rakeem Shaw and Terry Arnold. But I think they're good enough players and they're good enough athletes that they'll be better than what you had last year. And I think by the end of the season, they'll be rounded in the form after they get the, you know, 8-9 games in them. So I'm not even worried about them. I think the defense overall has potential to be real good. I think this whole team has potential to be real good. So just get out there and start playing.
Just a second. I think they already are real good. I don't think they're going to be good. They are good.
The pass defense last year was bad to me in the playoffs. I just thought that they got smoked by Tampa Bay. They got smoked by the Rams. And even they got smoked by the 49ers at the end of the game. I mean, end of that game. And I just think those are things they went to correct this year. And now you can you can go into games. And like I said, if the offense is putting 30-something points up a game, if that defense puts up, I mean, holds to 17 a game, you're in good shape. And I think 17 is a lot with this defense unless there's injuries.
Well, it's hard to look. It's a different era, Kenny, and it's hard to build a defense. It's just the way the rules of the game work against you now.
No, I understand. All right, so it's the Rams this week, Mike. Okay, we'll do this before our closing thoughts. Give me one player that we will be talking about in December that we're not talking about now on the Lions.
But we're not talking about this.
Like a player that's going to emerge this year. Not, you know, you could be a player that's already good to you. I just want to know, what's the player we're going to be talking about in December on this Lions team?
Well, we're talking about him. We've been talking about him since the day they drafted him, Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams. Interesting.
You know what? He's a good kid, a good guy, likes to play football, likes to be good, wants to be good, wants to be better. They've really got something there, and we'll see.
Right. I'm going to go with Brian Branch.
Yep.
By the end of this year, you'll be talking about him like they talk about Troy Polamalu. I don't want to say Ed Reed, but they'll be talking about him in that type of – they're not going to talk about his Hall of Famers, but they'll be talking about him as safety as one of the best in the league at that position by the end of the year. That's my prediction. Brian Branch.
I can't disagree with you on that one.
All right, Mike, since we're not going to do one this Friday, a prediction, since we started so late in the week with our podcast, we're going to do our prediction for the game this week right now. 3.5 spread. The Lions are favored by. It's the Rams, Lions, 8:20, Sunday night, Ford Field. Michael Hare, give me your prediction.
Well, I like the Lions in this game. I just think that they beat them once last year when the money was on the table, and they did it. And it's the start of the season now, not the end. And I just think the Lions have too much for the Rams. I think Jared Goff gets another day of revenge.
Yes. All right. I'm going to say 34-20 Lions. You can follow with your own numbers here.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but I'll just tamp it down a little bit, 30-20 Lions.
Oh, wow, those 4 points make a difference. That's what it is.
I said
I was about to say, boy, you really tamped it down, 4 points. All right, Michael Harris, good to be back doing our podcast every week, and I will enjoy ourselves. We're going to add a person next week to our podcast we'll be having every week now. I don't know if we have to change the name of the Canaan podcast to include these people, but big surprise next week when we do our podcast will be a third member added as WJR's podcast will expand here. Alex Anzalone every Monday during the season at 4:35 on the Mitch Albom Show on 760 WJR. Check him out. We're also going to have another surprise Lion edition during the week, which I will give you more details on as we move on into the future. But join us for those, and Michael Hare and myself will be giving you Lions content all season. Are you ready, Mike?
God, I hope so.
All right.
I've been at it a long time.
Yes, you have.
By now.
Yes, you have. But you know what? You're the old wise one here, so I come to you with sage advice.
I like sage. I like parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
There you go.
And prime.
There you go. Well, that's Michael Hare. I'm Ken Brown. Join us next week on the K&M Podcast.